Good evening. This is Good Friday. This is the day that we remember how Jesus suffered and showed God's amazing love for each one of us. This is the day we remember how God the Father sent his only Son to suffer and die to save us from our sins. This is the day we remember how Jesus willingly bore the full brunt of God's fury and wrath to pay the penalty for our sins. Today is called Good Friday because the greatest good ever achieved came out of the worst day in history. I invite you to please stand for our call to worship and opening prayer.
Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree.
That we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross so that he might draw the whole world to himself. Grant that we, who love in his death for our salvation, may also glory in his call to take up our cross and follow him. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please join in the opening hymn, Jesus Loves Me. Seated. Reading from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 13, to chapter 53, verse 12. And a note, this was written 700 years before Christ died on the cross. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence and nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It's the word of God, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was in the crowd the day that Jesus died, and as he hung upon the cross, his mother cried. I saw the crowns of thorns he wore, the stripes upon his back. The water and the blood ran out, and then the sky turned black. My mind was filled with anger, my heart was filled with shame. This man brought only healing, who could bring him pain? Why does it seem the strong always victimize the weak? And suddenly I found myself standing to my feet. And I cried, who nailed him there? This child of peace and mercy, who nailed him there? Come and face me like a man, who nailed him there? Then the crowd began to mock me. I cried, oh my God, I just don't understand. I turned and saw the hammer in my hand. I am just a Roman soldier, an ordinary man. I love my wife and children. I do the best I can. How could I have killed him? There must be someone else. There's got to be an answer. I just can't blame myself. Who nailed him there? This child of peace and mercy. Who nailed him there? Come and face me like a man. Who nailed him there? Then the crowd began to mock me. I cried, oh my God, I just don't understand. Then I turned and saw the hammer in my hand. I nailed him there, this child of peace and mercy. I nailed him there. I am a guilty man. I nailed him there with my sins and my transgressions. And I cried, oh my God, now I understand. When I turned and saw the hammer in my hand. Surely this man was the Son of God.
Please pray with me. Jesus, surely you are the Son of God. We come to you, Creator and Lover of our souls. You know us well, and yet you still love us. You are righteous and just in everything you do. Thank you for inviting us into this Holy Friday to remember the terrible price that you willingly paid so that we could be here this evening with you. Thank you, Jesus, for the payment for our sins so that we could be restored to you and with the help of the Holy Spirit become more like you. Thank you for the amazing opportunity you offer to us just to spend time with you, to talk with you, to listen to you, to be strengthened and encouraged by you. Thank you for this time of prayer where we can focus ourselves totally on you. Lord, please forgive us for our sins. Please give us the courage to confess our sins before you. Please forgive us for refusing to allow your Spirit to make us whole. Please give us new hearts. Give us a desire to change our ways. Give us humble hearts that don't despise correction from your word. And by your Spirit, Lord, help us to live obediently before you. Thank you for giving us the victory over our sins so that we can overcome the tricks and temptations of the devil. Lord, please strengthen and empower us and Christians everywhere who celebrate their place in your body, the church, and who rejoice in their salvation from the sin for which you, Jesus, paid so dearly and yet give so freely. Help us to have complete confidence in you and in your word, especially at the difficult and confusing times of our lives. And please help us stay close to you in the hard times and in the good times and at this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 through 34. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I said earlier in the service that today is Good Friday, the day we remember how Jesus suffered and showed God's amazing love for each one of us. This is the day we remember how God the Father sent his only Son to suffer and die to save us from our sins. This is the day we remember how Jesus willingly bore the full brunt of God's fury and wrath to pay the penalty for our sins. Today is called Good Friday because the greatest good ever achieved came out of the worst day in history. Matthew 27, 45 and 46 says, "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" Jesus was quoting Psalm 22, 1 when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those words that Jesus said on the cross are not the words of someone who is at peace with God. The peace of God left Jesus when God the Father turned his back on his only Son. The sins of the world had been placed on Jesus, and God's eyes cannot look on sin. Jesus had no peace when he was separated from God, his Father, by our sins, the same as we can find no peace when we are separated from God by our sins. Jesus suffered and gave up the peace of God so that we might receive God's peace in our souls. Isaiah 53, 5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Jesus became completely human and suffered for us so that we might be healed of our sin and have the right to become children of God. That's in John 1, 12. Matthew 27, 46 through 50 says, "About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with vinegar, put it on a staff, offered it to Jesus to drink, and the rest said, 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." In Luke 23, 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. When he was there among them, they did not recognize Jesus for who he is. All they knew was that Jesus made them uncomfortable at all sorts of levels, and so they silenced him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On this day, we remember again the anguish and the intensity of our own sin, our awareness of the evil in our world and in our lives, our own role in Jesus' betrayal and crucifixion, and an awareness that it is our salvation for which Jesus made this journey to the cross. All through the Bible are accounts, time after time, of how God is generous in extending mercy and love to people who turn to him with open hearts and repentant hearts. There were accounts throughout Jesus' life of people whom Jesus willingly and generously introduced to a new life, a fuller life, a more complete life. They would ask to be healed, and Jesus would say, "You are forgiven." Jesus extended his forgiveness to them, and Jesus extends his forgiveness to each of us as well. Forgiveness is the restoration of a broken relationship. Jesus' forgiveness makes possible the restoration of our relationship with God. Jesus makes it possible. Forgiving is the most wonderful thing that we can receive from Jesus. Forgiveness is also the most miserable thing that Jesus calls upon us to do. Forgiving others is the one thing Christians have the most difficulty with. And yet, when we forgive others, that is our greatest witness. When you see someone who is a victim of a crime on TV and they are interviewed and they say to the reporter, "I forgive them." Oh, what a witness that is. A witness that the world cannot ignore. Loving and forgiving, pretty much the same thing. If you love someone, you forgive them for just about anything. Jesus forgives you and me because he loves us. Jesus shows his love for you by forgiving you. Jesus loves you. Jesus proved it beyond a doubt because he loves you, because he forgives you in spite of what he suffered because of each one of us. Surely, Jesus paid the full price for our sins. Surely, Jesus understands our trials and our pain, both physical and emotional. God loves us most surely. Look at the cross and see that God loves you. That's enough. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to confess your sins and repent of your broken promises to God. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to heal your broken heart. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to get up and get dressed and go out and try again. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough reason to trust your soul into the safety of his care. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough reason to commit your life and energy to His service. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to save you from your sins. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to free you from the guilt of your past. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to free you from your fear of the future. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to give you courage to face today and all of its challenges. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to restore the joy of your salvation. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough for you to forgive even your worst enemies. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough to receive and experience the joyful, abundant life that Jesus promises to each of us who trust our lives to Him and obey Him. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough for you to dedicate to Jesus your heart and your life. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough for you to crucify and nail your old selfish carnal self to Jesus' cross and accept for yourself the heart and mind and forgiving spirit of Christ to go forth and deliberately sin no more. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. That's enough. Remember, the best things in life are the gifts of God's forgiveness. They may be free, but they are very dearly paid for. Always be grateful. Jesus' death and resurrection is the only bridge between us and God. Jesus bought our salvation from sin, and His forgiveness is our receipt for the purchase. Isaiah 53:5 says this about Jesus. But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that bought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Let us pray. Father, forgive us so that we may come to know Your grace and Your mercy and Your love as the Holy Spirit directs our lives in our homes and in our workplaces, in our churches and in our community. Help us to show the world in our actions and with our words that Your grace-filled forgiveness is freely given to all who will receive. Amen. We will now begin the tenebrae service. This is a service of darkness, and so I'm going to ask that the lights be extinguished. And as Ron and I do the readings, the candles also will be extinguished. And we will remember the darkness of the day and the earth when Jesus died for each of us. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and the disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches and lanterns and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave to me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people.
Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in the synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews came together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I have no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, No, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify! But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Do you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews," but this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look upon the one they have pierced. Will you please extinguish all of the lights in the sanctuary? Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Thank you. Go in peace. And may Jesus Christ, who for our sake became obedient unto death on a cross, keep you and strengthen you this night and forever. Amen.